Would you open your Bibles tonight, the Word of God, to the book of Revelation? We've been doing a study in the book of Revelation. And you know me, I've done some study on this, and I've never preached through the book of Revelation. And so we started several weeks ago. We're up to Revelation chapter 7. This past Sunday night, we looked at this pause in judgment. We saw the Lord set aside 144,000 Jewish men to evangelize the world during the tribulation. And I know we talked about, all my life, I've heard of the Jehovah Witnesses and these other people saying they were going to be the 144,000. We dealt with that a little bit. And one little small little thing that kind of messes them up on that is their numbers have already exceeded 144,000. The Bible's very clear that these were Jewish people out of each tribe. So let's take what the Bible says. And so there's no confusion there. So we understand He set them aside to serve Him. And now we're on the second portion of this scripture. If you'll look in chapter 9. And again, we've laid the foundation. We've spent a lot of time laying the foundation. Of course, the key to the book is Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. We went through all of that. Things which have been seen, the things which are, and the things which will be hereafter. And so after chapter 4, verse 1, everything is from hereafter. And so we've been in the throne room, and then we've went down and we learned the judgment that was going to take place on earth with the seals being opened. And then in chapter 7, we've taken a little pause. And the pause is to seal the 144,000 servants to serve Him. And then I want you to notice the second part, which is wonderful news. Look at verse 9 of chapter 7. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest, and he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And all God's people said, Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more. Of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Heavenly Father, pray You'll help us tonight, encourage us, teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. First part of this passage, of this parenthetical chapter, this pause, because we just finished up looking at the seals that were opened, the judgment upon the land. Now remember, the saved are in heaven, worshiping the Lord. And then we see that He's seen this, the redeemed of the tribulation that we're looking at now. But just prior to this, on last Sunday, we've seen the 144 Jewish people, they're sealed to serve the Lord during the tribulation period. So tonight, we get to see the fruit of their labor. Get to see the fruit of their labor. And we see that the Bible says, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, but their number was exceeding great. It was actually a number that no man could number. So it was so large, even a Baptist preacher would mess up on that count. Amen. I've noticed Baptist preachers are good at messing up counts all the time. Amen. Some of y'all are serious looking tonight. Some of y'all got to get a little happy tonight. I mean, I'm telling you right now, rough crowd tonight. How many of you glad you saved? All right, tell your face about it a little bit, all right? All right. So, let's look at this. The presence of the multitude. They are seeing the fruit of the, we're seeing the fruit of the labor. God has revealed the fruit of the labor of the 144,000 evangelists, the men that serve the Lord. And here's the amazing thing to me about this is Christ has always desired men to come to Him. That doesn't change in the tribulation period. Our God is the same. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Even during the time of tribulation, listen to me church, grace will still be extended because that's who our God is. And so we see the fruits. And so let's continue to look here at the presence of this multitude. Look at verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. These were those who were saved, and they were, the Bible says he's seen a multitude in heaven after this 144,000 was sealed. And these were the saved that during this tribulation period, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But let's look at their numbers. What's the Bible say about them? The Bible says it's a great multitude. Actually, a multitude that no man could number. He sees a group so large that it was impossible to count them. So imagine the joy he felt after seeing the devastation of the tribulation. Here he sees this multitude of people that know what it means to be saved. And so could you imagine the joy as he's even penning this and seeing this, that he's excited that there were people saved even amongst all of this devastation. So we see not only their numbers, but look at their nationalities. This wasn't just a select group. God's very careful here how He gives the number, and not only the number, it's a great multitude, but the Bible says they are of every tribe, they are of every tongue, the Bible says they are of all nations, they were of all kindreds, and I'm telling you right now, that helps me to know that the gospel is for all people. We're living in a day, and I told these young people this, this morning. We're dealing with a lot of people talking about racism today. But you know what? The Bible clears all that up. If you're a Christian and you believe the doctrines of the Bible, then I'm going to promise you this. There's no racism in our blood because we know that God wants all men to come to Christ. So people want to not Christianity, but I'm going to be honest with you. The most loving people should be Christians because the love of God's in our heart. And what we believe should affect our behavior. So the last place you ought to deal with racism is in a church of Bible believers because we know that God loves all people. And this passage again just nails it down even more that the gospel is for all men. Jesus died for all men. Whatever the skin color, whatever their background, listen, the love and mercy of Jesus Christ went beyond all barriers to reach mankind, even in the tribulation period here to come. So we see their numbers, we see their nationalities, but I want you to notice this. Look at their nature. They're seen standing before the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but that's an exciting part that they're standing before the Lord, because if they're standing before the Lord, He's accepted them. Praise God, being accepted by God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Look at their virtue. The Bible says, once again, we see this redeemed, and they were saints standing in what? What were they clothed in? White robes. They now possess the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has placed His righteousness upon them. Praise the Lord. Now could you imagine as He's just went through penning all about these seals and all of this great devastation, what a thrill, what a joy to be able to say and to change a little bit in this pause and talk about the goodness of God and talk about folks that are being saved out of this horrible destruction. Then I want you to notice this. Look at verse 9. The Bible says this. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. And then I notice this. And palms in their hands. Now, wonder why he would mention palms there. Well, I had to do a little bit of study. I'm not the greatest of picking out little things. You know me. I'm very I'm very practical, but sometimes I miss the little things. But this one here, I said, now why would they have palms? Then I went back, of course, when the Lord Jesus came in and they were giving him on palm, why? Because they were hailing him as a victor. And I've done a little bit of study and I've seen what palms are about, and palms always represent victory. Kind of reminds me of, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. I mean, these folks had just been in the worst destruction, in the tribulation. They've seen famine. They've seen all these horrible things. They probably went out without food, but now they're in heaven and they got the victory. By the way, are you saved tonight? Then you're on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the... Bad, you're a tough crowd. I mean, now look, y'all just want to sit there like a bump on a log. I mean, just sit there. But I mean, get excited about something. Are y'all losers? You're not... How many of you are saved? I mean, at least try to cover up my singing when I'm singing Victory in Jesus. I mean, just jump right in there. I mean, we're in heaven viewing what's getting ready to take place. And by the way, we're going to see all this like John seen it. We're going to be right there when all of these folks are saved. We're going to be right there in heaven. So like I said the other day, why don't you get your mind in there like you're going to be there? Because if you're saved, you are. So this isn't some mystical fairy tale that we're talking about. It's going to be reality for us one day. I don't know about you, but we're going to be sharing the victory with them. So we see this multitude. Then I want you to notice, what about the presence of this multitude? I want you to notice the praise of this multitude. Look at verse 10. The Bible says John immediately sees this multitude praising the Lord. You'd have no idea why they'd be praising, would you? I mean, you have no idea why they would be praising the Lord, would you? Have y'all ever praised the Lord? How many of y'all ever been in a mess and He got you out of it? How many of you ever just sat down and realized, I'm going to tell you right now, my life was a mess. I was on my way to hell, but Jesus Christ saved me. I mean, that will even make the most sour Christian at least go, whoop, whoop. I mean, sometimes I'm just driving down the road and there ain't a soul around. And I'll just get to hearing one of them songs or something. And I'll get to thinking about how good. And I'll start beating the steering wheel. And I'll start saying, God, You've been so good to me. I mean, I think the praise is about... I think we've let people scare us to death on praise. No, they're praising. By the way, if you're scared to praise now, you won't be in heaven. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be a whole lot of it going on. So we might as well go ahead and get the head start. But they're trying to help us here to realize, I have no idea why this crowd immediately started praising the Lord. I mean, it's not like He saved them or nothing. And it's not like He just took them out. They just got out of probably what most people would call hell on earth with the tribulation. And of course, it's not going to compare to actual literal hell. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When people are left behind in the tribulation period, there's going to be catastrophic things that no man thought could happen on this earth. And they're going to be enduring it. But praise God, they're going to get saved during the tribulation. They're going to be up in heaven. And as soon as they get there, they're going to realize this is a whole lot better than down there. And they're going to recognize the One that saved them. And they ain't going to be able to help to praise Him. So their praise is offered in verse 10. The Bible says they cried with a what? With a whisper? Y'all help me. With a whisper. Well, we like to praise the Lord and everything. But I just kind of like a secret service praiser. I just don't really think anybody ought to know. Well, these people up there don't think that way. Said with a loud voice. A loud voice. I mean, they couldn't help themselves. How many of y'all remember the lepers that was cleansed? Well, none of them went away. But that one turned around. And he did what? He praised the Lord. And the Bible said with a loud voice. You know why? I believe all 10 of them were thankful for the gift. But you know what made the difference with that one leper? He was thankful for the giver. There's a difference. These folks are up there and we ought to be praising the Lord. Yes, we're saved, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm more thankful for the one who saved me. So, hey, I want you to know, they offered their praise, and the Bible said with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God would set upon on the throne and unto the Lamb. They're shouting praises unto the Lord and for the Lamb that redeemed them. And by the way, that challenges us. We ought to offer praise to the Lord. I've experienced His marvelous grace. I, too, have been washed in the blood. I've been redeemed. It ought to make me, it ought to compel me to praise the Lord. So their praise is offered. Then I want you to notice this. I thought this interesting. Look at verse 11. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. You know what I kind of thought here? I kind of put this. Their praise was overwhelming. Here's what I kind of jotted down. As the redeemed, the people that were saved, knew the Lord, the good grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, as they started to praise, I believe it compelled the angelic host to just get along with them and start praising. And I learned something about praise. It's amazing what praising can do. You know what I've learned about praising? It's kind of contagious. But I've also learned something. Negativity and grumpiness is contagious too. Have y'all ever heard that sour company, or what is that? Sour company likes, what is that? They like company? What is it? I butchered that. But y'all know what I meant. Misery loves company. You know what that means? It's contagious. Thank y'all for helping me preach tonight. Hey, I'm loose tonight. I'm glad I'm saved. But look, misery loves company. But you know what ought to love company? Praise ought to love company. Praise. I'm going to be honest. You know what, church? There shouldn't be anybody that's more full of praise than the people that know the good grace of God in these days. It's amazing what praising will do. You know what it did in heaven? It compelled the angelic host to get along with them. By the way, the Bible very clearly says the angels don't know what we know. I heard a preacher say years ago, and I love it. He said, they're window peepers. They're looking into this thing called salvation. They don't understand what it means to be redeemed. But we do. And so our praise, their praise, is so contagious that the angelic host begins to praise. I'm going to be honest with you, you talk about a praise and worship service, it will be one. So we see the presence of the multitude. We see the praise of the multitude. I want you to notice this. Look at the providence of the multitude. Look at verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And this very clearly, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Same way we got washed. Same way. No new way, but they got washed in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. So that's their record. Their record's just like ours. They came out of this great tribulation. They endured the tribulation, but they believed on Jesus Christ for salvation. They were people like you and me in need of a Savior, and they came to Christ. I say to you tonight, I hope and pray that you know, that you know, that you know Jesus as your Savior. If you're out there listening tonight online, you need to know that you know that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. You meet Him by faith. Boy, I tell you what, I'm thankful for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. And boy, when He starts to convict, praise God. Was it last week or Wednesday before last? We had a dear man under conviction, got saved. He's been faithfully listening and watching online. He's been, and I'm not getting on there as much making comments, but I should have got on the other day and said, hey, it's so good to see him. But he's been watching online. And I want to say, thank God, even in a pandemic, even when there's fear running everywhere, God's still in the saving business. And I tell you what, there are still people, their greatest need is they need a Savior. And these folks needed a Savior. They recognized Christ as their Savior. And so their record is they got saved just like us. And then you see their redemption. Look at verse 14. These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the multitude needed the same thing we needed for our sins to be washed away and cleansed. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. I'm thankful. The multitude needed the same thing that all men need, cleansing in the blood of Calvary. There are many today who see no need of preaching the cross. I was even accused a few years ago, oh, you're one of them believes in that slaughter. And they used that. I'd never heard that before. But they said to me, oh, you believe that slaughterhouse religion. I've never heard that in my life. Slaughterhouse. Well, I don't know anything about slaughterhouse, but I know this. The precious Lamb shed His blood that we might be saved. It amazes me that the God of heaven that created all things humbled Himself, even the death of the cross, that we might go free. Oh, what love. For God so loved the world that He what? Gave. So I'm thankful He loved us enough to redeem us. And by the way of the cross, I'll go home. I want you to know by the blood of Jesus Christ, these that were saved by Jesus' blood. And by the way, if you're listening tonight and if you intend on making it to heaven, you're going to have to go through the blood too. So we see their redemption in heaven. What a worship service. Then quickly, I want you to notice the position of the multitude. Look at verse 15. The Bible says this, therefore are they before the throne of God. Well, think of that. Now, these are the folks that just endured some of the most horrific things that people could endure. And now they're in the very presence of God. These are no longer enduring the torments of the tribulation. They're no longer enduring the persecution of Satan. I'm thankful they've arrived on a heavenly shore. And I'm telling you right now, we're going to also enjoy that splendor of heaven with them just like they will. And then we see their heavenly priority. Look at verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night. I'm interested about that. Serve Him. Y'all ever thought about that? What are we going to do in heaven? Well, the Bible says they're going to serve Him day and night. So I just got to thinking, well, if we're going to serve Him day and night in heaven, why don't we serve Him here? I wonder why so many Christians just don't want to get involved in the service of the Lord. Because I'm going to help y'all. I'm going to reveal something to you tonight. You're going to do it there. And you're going to love it. But you love it now if you get involved in it. Like Brother Bell said, I'm telling you right now, and I know this is true. Brother Nate, can I ask you a question? Was you ready to just, I mean, you was tore all to pieces and ready to, probably to just, the end, you could take a squirt gun and you probably felt like charging hell a couple weeks ago when your friend came to know Christ as a Savior. Isn't that exciting? That's exciting when you have some type of influence or some kind of investment in someone, just like Brother Bell said, when you just call up somebody on the phone and you just let them know and invite them, just say to the couple, can I give you a personal thing that I was about ready to have a shouting, slobbering fit the other day exactly when I needed it. When Laura's aunt passed away, we went in for her funeral and we preached the funeral. And I can't remember, it might have been the day after her funeral. For some reason, I found myself on the banks of the New River. Now, I don't know how I got there and I really don't know why I went there. And that's what you call sarcasm, amen? I knew why I was there and I know what I was doing there. I was jerking smallmouth out of the river. But the phone rang. My phone rang in my pocket. I didn't recognize the number. So I said, well, I better get it. Because I don't know who it is, but they're messing me up on my precious time. And I said, hello. And there was a young man on the other end of the line. Hadn't seen him in a while. But I had a lot of influence in his life several years ago. And he just called me out of the blue and said, "Pastor Mark, I just want you to know something. I want to thank you for every time you took the time to talk to me about Jesus." He said, "I thank you for all the talks and all of the time that you..." He used the word sacrifice to spend time to invest in my life. And I thought, something's going on in that young man's life. He said, "I just wanted you to know that." I said, "You'll never know how that encouraged me." But I said, "Can I help you with something?" I said, "This ain't about me." I said, "I don't know what you're going through." But I said, "Not only what we talked about and you're thankful for the times we took, I said, don't forget to get closer to the one that we always talked about, Jesus." I said, "Because I'm all the way in the state of West Virginia, 6 hours away from you, but the Lord Himself is as close as your breath. And He'll help you in this moment." And I'm just going to be honest with you, that encouraged me. And you know what? I hadn't thought of that young man in a long, long time. And I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't take that as something that, "Oh, wow, Pastor Mark, you're great." No, I'm going to be honest with you. Here's what encouraged me. If just one little time that I could spend talking to someone about the Lord, and in a rough time in their life, they can recall something about the Lord, it's worth it all. So are we ever wasting our time when we talk to somebody about the Lord? Are we ever wasting our time when we're trying to live the Christian life? Are we ever wasting our time when we witness to someone? Are we ever wasting our time just being faithful to the Lord? We were talking this afternoon and something was said about someone's faithfulness. And my wife said to this young lady, said, "Well, listen, you stay faithful and I promise you this, God will honor that. And there'll be a great blessing to come down the road." So I think about this. I'm thankful the heavenly priority is this. The Bible says they're serving the Lord day and night. No more troubles, no more heartaches. All of that is past. Now they stand before the Lord. They're thanking Him for all He's done. And they want to serve Him. I say, let's get busy serving Him now. And by the way, I know we talk a lot about the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, the walls of jasper, the mansion in heaven. We talk about the great reunions with loved ones. And listen to me, all of that's going to be great. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's all going to pale in comparison when we see Him. A heavenly presence. "And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." God shall dwell among us in heaven. Can you imagine that? Y'all ever been in God's presence? Well, I can promise you this. When you've been in it, you know it. It's special. But I'm going to promise you this. It's going to be all the time in heaven. We're going to be in His presence all the time. We will have all eternity enjoy the presence of our God. By the way, He'll be in the midst all the time. And then quickly, a heavenly provision. Look at verse 16. Now, this might seem, but they shall hunger no more. They're not going to thirst anymore either. You know why? These folks are not going to be treated like second-class citizens. You know, they were treated worse than second-class citizens on earth during the tribulation. They were denied food. They were persecuted. They were probably hunted. They've endured earthquakes. They've endured things that only we could read about. But yet now I love how loving our Lord is. He made it very clear, and they'll be in for want of nothing like they were. No more hunger. No more thirst. I'm thankful there'll be no more. Could you imagine what they faced on earth? You think about that. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation, could you imagine? We just read about the seals that are open and all the devastation that it's going to cause. Praise God, it's all gone. There'll be no more thirsting, no more hungry, hey, no more suffering. And then I'm going to say this as I close. No more sorrow. I don't know about y'all, but y'all know what? I can't wait to get there. I'm going to say this with all my heart. I told Laura, tomorrow's going to be tough. Just for the solid fact, this has been a shocker. And I've never said this before, but just last week, the dear sweet man brought me and Laura, and I love his, he makes pear, preserves pear, it's like applesauce, but he makes pear. Knock your socks off good. I'm talking about Gene Robinson. He brought us a big old canister of it. We ate it pretty quick. Me and Laura's fighting over it. I told Laura today, I said, I'm going to be honest, I don't want to go tomorrow. I don't want to go tomorrow. I kind of feel like that if I just don't go, that it's not real. But then before I came to church, you know what I thought? I envy Gene Robinson. No more sorrow. No more COVID. No more sad phone calls at 11:30 at night. No more sickness. No more death. No more goodbyes. So as I go tomorrow, here's what I'm going to think. He's seeing what we're still trusting by faith. And I'm going to be honest with you. Can't wait to get there. And that's what we get to look forward to. To see the one who's done everything for us. Could you imagine? The day he went, his faith became sight. No more sorrow, no more thirsting, no more hunger. I'm encouraged about that. How many of y'all glad you got a promise of heaven? How many of you do not believe it's, if you do not believe heaven is a fairy tale, would you stand to your feet? You do not believe heaven is a fairy tale. You believe it's a real place. Would you stand to your feet? I thought everybody would stand on that. Can I ask this? How many of you glad you're going? Have you thanked Him today? Have you praised Him today? Why don't we just take a moment as we close tonight? And there from your heart, right there in your very seat, how about you just lift up a thanksgiving and a praise to your Savior? If you're out there listening tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is the way. That's not my word, and that's not my way. That's God's way. His plan is perfect. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray you'll trust Him tonight. If you're lost, you have this empty feeling inside. There's a void there. It can only be filled by your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. You meet Him by faith. So if you need help with that, you please give us a call here. We'll help you. But if you're in this room tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you please stay behind and speak to us? And we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. You don't want to miss heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness and grace. Lord, as we look at this, we get these little glimpses of the things that are going to be hereafter. Lord, I have to put myself there. I'm trying to visualize it in my mind with my little finite mind. Lord, I want to visualize. I know I'm going to be there. So the anticipation, the excitement. Lord, I want it to affect me and it motivate me while I'm here. Lord, if we're going to be doing all these things in heaven, then You help me to get a head start. Help me to stay faithful. Help me stay encouraged by knowing that we're going to be worshiping You forever. We're going to be serving You forever. So, Lord, I pray You'll help me to enjoy it now. Help me to be faithful, Lord. I pray your work in these dear, precious people's heart. And maybe, Lord, there's someone here discouraged tonight. I pray you'd encourage them by giving them a glimpse of what they get to look forward to. Thank you for extending grace and mercy and salvation even during the tribulation period. That doesn't surprise me, Lord, because that's who you are. Thank you for being our God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people say it. Amen. Have a great evening. Brother Randy.